Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Cannot look like the light. So scripture says they looked up unto him and they became what? They became radiant. In other words, they became light. And as a result of that, what happened? Shame was taken away. Shame was taken away. Shame was taken away. Pain was taken away. The shame disappeared. Shame disappeared. So it's not just the melody of the song. We are singing a revelation. And that must be born in your heart. If it is not born in your heart, you'll just be enjoying the melody. But you see, song is just beyond enjoying melody. Hallelujah. Songs are they are revelation. They are things with their confessions. Hallelujah. It was told that when Hitler was going to, you know, recruit men during the Nazis, I believe, the war in Germany, right? He was not just declaring it by saying words. He hired men, he brought men together and they began to compose it into song. You know why? It became something that affected their psyche and they were naturally acting it out. They believed that, hey, we are superior than the Jews. Hallelujah. So there's something that a song does to a man, the believer. It's that it makes you move from the point of just singing from your head. It makes you become to morph into that thing you are singing. So if you have not journeyed from the place of just enjoying the melody into, you see, there's an interaction that is going on between you and God, you are just doing exercise of the mouth. So scripture says they looked up unto him and were lightened. They looked up unto him. I don't know who is at that crossroad. You know, we spoke yesterday. It seems even our nation is at a crossroad. It seems some individuals here are at a crossroad. You are just like you are at your wit end. Can you open your mouth again and declare in song?
Yahweh, Yahweh, I look unto you.
Yahweh, I look unto you.
We look up to you this morning, just like the man by the pool of Bethsaida. Just like the man beside the pool of Bethsaida, we look up unto you this morning. We want it to be evident that we are with you this morning. Let our life manifest forth that we are with you. Let it show beyond just our lips. Let it show in our lives. Let it show in our families. Let it show in our careers. Let it show in our businesses. Let it show in our children. In the name of Jesus. Come on. In Jesus' mighty name have we worship. In Jesus' mighty name have we worship. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you so much, House of Judah. Amen. Okay, let's open our Bibles to Joshua chapter 2 from verse 1. It's going to be a long read. It's going to be a long read. I came to the conclusion that what God is doing in this season is that God is laying emphasis. I'll be speaking in that light, and to be honest, she has done like 90% of my work already. She has done 90% of my work. You see, if I have 100 opportunities to teach, 99 times I will teach about faith. We can never be tired. As believers, we must never be tired, because there's an expectation that God has over us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has called us people of faith. What you listen to, you have the capacity to become. You want your faith to grow, you listen to faith. You listen to men of faith. You listen to testimonies of faith. They encourage you. They make your faith to leap, to jump. Hallelujah. When people listen, you know why, the reason why it was very easy for men of Sodom and Gomorrah to continue in sin? You know why? It was because sin was around them. They wake up, they sleep, they dream. I mean, like all their dreams, everything about them was just about perversity in the land. So when you hear doubt, it's very easy for doubt to grow up in your heart. Hallelujah. And so that's why for us as believers, it is important that we keep hearing the word of faith. It affirms, it makes your faith to become stronger. Hallelujah. It makes your faith become stronger. Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's why it's important for us to keep hearing to the, keep listening, keep, you know, following the word of faith. Bible speaking in Romans, somewhere Romans, maybe Romans 10, 13, 14, or 3, 13, 14. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, how can they call upon him whom they've not heard? How can they believe whom they've not? And he went about, so at the concluding part, chapter 10, right? He said, how can they even hear without a preacher? So you see that word of faith, or listening to God's word, builds our capacity. It enlarges our capacity to even believe God for more. And I believe that this morning someone's faith is seeing a rise. If that's you, can you shout a louder amen? Amen. You will experience a leap this morning. There will be a jump, an upward jump in your faith level. The Lord is increasing someone's capacity this morning to believe for more. Not just for you, but for your families. Not just for you, but for our nation. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 2 from verse 1 to 24. I want us to read together, please. It's an interesting story. It's an interesting story. Can we read together as a church? Is it possible? Okay. 1, 2, go. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, verse 2. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men Etah tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out of the country." Verse 4. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gates, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalk of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the forts. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gates. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. She climbed the roof to talk with them. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is falling upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." Just two men, oh. "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we have heard about these things, our heart did melt, neither did any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven and in earth beneath." Verse 12. "Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house. Give me a true token, Hayalabayagada, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us this land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Verse 15. "Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house of the wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way." Verse 16. "And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, that thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee." What a strategy. "And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of the house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him." Verse 19, 20. "And if you utter this our business, then they will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us swear." And she said, "According to your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuer sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. Verse 23. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. Verse 24, the last verse. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint before cause of us. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31. Hebrews 11:31. Sorry I took us through that long read, but it's important to what we'll be considering this morning. Hebrews 11:31. Can we read together also? By faith, the Allot, Rehab, perished not with them that believed not. I hope we mark that word, that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in the name of Jesus. You will be wondering, how come scripture called Rehab a harlot? Let me use the present day English. Borrow me English, please. She was a prostitute. Or what we call Ashewo. There's another word in Lagos. I got to know in Lagos. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was the kind of... I'm just trying to unpack the kind of portfolio she had. Someone said, well, yes, her portfolio. She wasn't just a prostitute. She was more than just a prostitute. She was an innkeeper. Hotelier. She was a manager of a hotel. When visitors come into Jericho, did you see the description of the house where she lived? She wasn't living on a low ground. She was living on the hill. Bible says on top of the wall. Right? Yes. A penthouse. Thank you so much. I love that. She was living in a penthouse. Or our hotel was a penthouse. The hotel, you open like this, you open the window, what you see is that river, very calm river, like that serenity and all of that. That was the kind of person Rehab was. Rehab was one, a prostitute, number two. She was an innkeeper, and she was not just an innkeeper, she was entertaining residents and visitors alike. And if you read, thankfully we read Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, right? If we had continued to read, or you have read before, you discover that from verse 5 or thereabout, scripture began to talk about men and women of faith. It was as though that the hall of faith, I've seen it a lot of times in study, was revealed. You hear about names like Samuel, David, Abraham. I mean, like, these are people that their portfolio, not totally good, but they weren't bad at all. Like, they were, if you hear David, maybe except that he killed that other guy. Abraham, fantastic portfolio. Sarah, fantastic portfolio. Can we mention other names? Jephthah, Moses, Joseph. Pardon? Enoch, a man who walked with God. There was no record of the man offending anybody, offending God. He was. So you would think that for a man to be enlisted in that kind of hall of fame, it should be by his life. Like the kind of things he has done, the good things he has done. And scripture did not even forget. It happened in Joshua, but now coming to Hebrews, scripture still called her by that appellation. Like if you call her Rehab, it didn't really, like the writer felt like if I call her Rehab, it won't still. So the writer had to make reference to the kind of business, in quotes, she was. So he said, by faith. But when we read in Joshua, scripture didn't mention anything about faith. It was like she was doing the hide and seek game, like, don't worry, don't worry. You know, when we're small children, we go and hide behind curtain. Mommy, don't tell him, or daddy, don't tell him, or I'm hiding here. Can I come now? Can you come? You just see, I found you. I did it. That was what the kind of thing that was playing out here. So scriptures here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31 say, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. So it means that all of the transactions that happened, scripture had one statement. I mean, like the 24 verses we read. And there are more than that. But with the 24 verses we read, had just one summary. You know, when the lecturer tells you are reading journal, this journal, that journal, that journal, go and summarize, you come back and you make presentation. The writer of Hebrews just did no more than two slides. This one, just one slide. By faith, the harlot Rahab, she did not perish with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So number one point we're looking at this morning, you know me, I'm a man of numbers. And we have like seven of them this morning. I pray that we'll be able to. Number one, Rahab was a sinner. True or false? True or false? She was. She was a sinner, yet she was saved by grace through faith. Rahab was a sinner. She was saved by grace through faith. And one of the things we must understand this morning yet again is that God never condones sin. God never excuses it. It wasn't like God was excusing the sin of Rahab. God will punish sin. And he has punished sin. He said, for the wages of sin is what? Is death. So God never overlooks sin. But this woman, she was a sinner. But she was saved by the grace of God through faith. Why am I emphasizing faith? Ephesians chapter 2. Can we open to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8? Ephesians chapter 2. Please read me and follow me carefully. We are building up. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and verse 9. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Now, this answers the question we were asking before. How did Rahab enter the list in Hebrews chapter 11? By what? By faith. That a man's life can be transformed, a man's destiny can be transformed from being a sinner to being a saint by acknowledging. So scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. So you see, that fire, or that those names we have in Hebrews chapter 11, it would have made sense if it was of themselves. Hallelujah. If it were by works, what they did, it would have been, I mean, like, Rahab would not have merited, or is word merit the right word? She would never have been considered to be part of that list. So it tells us this morning that again and again is that man is not justified by works. You know, sometimes you want to, even now as believers, sometimes you want to come, you are entering into God's presence and the devil reminds you of the wrong things you have done. Didn't you just lie on the phone now? You know, I was listening to one documentary. It said the word white lie. They were explaining the white lie. There are professors who are studying lie. Believe me, I kid not. There are professors who are studying lie. And technology has been deployed to even detect people who lie. In investigations now, you see they said the lie detector. Have you heard about that statement before? A kind of device you sit in front. If you are lying, the device will tell. So, number one, we have to establish this morning that a man is never saved by works. It says you were saved by faith in God. I'm reading from CEV version here. It says, you were saved by faith in God, who treats us much better than we deserve. Rahab was treated better than she deserved. Bible says the wages of sin is what? Is death. So because of the kind of business she was doing, the kind of transaction she was carrying out, what was supposed to be meted out to her was death. What she deserved was death. And faith. Bible says, but the grace of God spoke. He said, she was treated much better than she deserved. Number 2 point you must note. Sorry, that number 2 point on that, or let me say number B under one. 1B now. Salvation is God's gift. Salvation is God's gift. Salvation is God's gift. Still in that Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, verse 8, it says, you have done nothing, and anything is not anything you have done on your own. It is not something you have earned. So there's nothing you can brag about. I love the CV. I read the CV. I love the way it said there's nothing, it's not something you can brag like, my portfolio is very rich. I've never seen. And you know the difference between a Jewish man and a believer. You know what the Jews do? We know about a Pharisee. Sorry, let me use the word Pharisee. They brag about their portfolio. So why am I saying this? Why are we saying this? Is that, see, each time you approach God, don't approach God based on your portfolio. Especially when you know you are in the wrong. Don't approach God based on what you have done. Approach God based on what he has done. And so you will see that this woman, she was into the business of prostitution. She was into the business of prostitution, but she was saved. Number C in that statement, salvation is essentially what we, is not essentially what we do for God, but what God has done for us. Salvation is not what we do for God. It is what God has done for us. It is what God has done for us. I'm laying a foundation, please. Just follow me carefully. And some of these things, maybe in the Bible study, we can really, really open up to look at them. And you know, sometimes there has been this debate that some of us, we assume that baptism, or we were baptized in growing up, and when they asked, are you saved? You just remember, yes, I was baptized now. Salvation is not baptism. Hallelujah. I need to say that again. Salvation is not what? It's not water baptism. You know, and like the way pastor would say, the man who represented, who stood in for you growing up, you didn't even know him. Maybe he had just finished drinking his pepper water. You didn't know. It was not that man. You know what I'm saying? This, in my local church, they still do that. Before you become a partaker of the Holy Communion, they will say you have to do water baptism or go through the baptismal class. And some of the things or proponent of this, they said, Noah, he was saved by water. That if we say Noah was saved, what was that the source of his salvation was water? Noah was not saved. The source of Noah's salvation was not by water. Hallelujah. The source of Noah's salvation was not by water. The source of Noah's salvation, scripture says, and Noah found grace in the sight of God. So it was grace. The same Ephesians chapter 2. He said, you are saved through faith. No, you are saved, for by grace are you saved. Through what? Faith. It was the work of faith. I believe Genesis chapter 6 and verse 18 or verse 14. He says, and Noah found grace in the sight. So it was not the rain that fell, that everywhere water was covered and that water became his own pool where he was baptized. No. Hallelujah. Number D, salvation is not receiving Holy Communion. Because I eat Holy Communion now. Well, let me put it this way. I eat Mass. I partake of Mass. I've been saved. What do we eat? And we even give the theology. Is it not the body and the blood of Jesus Christ? It enters my body. It makes me. That is not God's method. Is communion good? Yes, it is good. Do we take communion here? Yes, we take communion here. But that is not God's requirement. Hallelujah. I need to rush up because I have so much here. Salvation is not doing more good than bad. Salvation is not doing more good than bad. It's not that when you're at the end of the day, God looks at the way you put your good on one scale, you will put your bad on another scale. So if your good exceeds your bad, you are qualified. It is not. If it was Rahab, you know, it wasn't just Rahab that partook in this thing. Bible says when a man, she was not alone, so she had multitude. So if we are talking about scale, she was not fit for this kind of scale. So salvation is not doing more good. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. He says it is the blood of his son that has washed off from all sins. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. He said, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Hallelujah. 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 I need that hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Do you have CEV translation there? Please give it to me. Or another translation. The CEV translation I have here says, he saved us because of his mercy and not because of any good things we have done. Not because of any good things you have done. He's doing good things. Good. Yes. But is that the basis for salvation? No. It says, God washed us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He gave us a new birth and a fresh beginning. Hallelujah. God gave Rahab a fresh beginning. 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 The second thing we can see from the life of this scripture we have read this morning, Rahab's faith began in hearing God's word. I know we have heard about faith this morning, but the foundation of any faith is in hearing not just the word of any man, but God's word. God's word is in God's word, is in hearing God's word, like we're doing now. Faith is imparted when we listen to God's word. And I'm not just talking about Bible. I'm talking about seasoned men of God. Faith is imparted when we hear testimonies. So our faith began by hearing God's word. And how do I know this? Let's open to the same Joshua chapter 2 and verse 10. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 10. We are building up. Please follow me carefully. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 10. We'll read verse 9, but 10 and 11, then we'll go back to verse 9. It says, for we have heard. Can we read together this first part? One, two, go. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. Sorry, this woman was a prostitute. Yes. And she was listening to messages of Christian. That is the impact of even when you are not preaching, but somebody beside you is listening to the message you are listening to. That is the impact. How did she hear? Believe me, she was not in church. And so you see that salvation will happen like God wants it. It is not. It won't just take the four walls where we are now. There are some persons that will not come into this building. No matter what you do, there are some persons who will not come into this building. You heard how pastor said they were in an event at the end of the year, and they said after they have enjoyed, they said, let's pray. And he said, what do you expect me to pray? Is it to thank the Lord that he gave us drink, or to thank that you misbehaved here? Rahab's salvation, or Rahab's faith, journey of faith, began by hearing God's word. It began by hearing God's word. You know, I came to the conclusion, one of the things I love God to see God do through me or through church, the church, is like, for instance, the Oral Roberts story you were quoting in the morning, instant healing. Like in the days of John G. Lake, instant healing. Like our pastor was telling us last week, was it last week or last 2 weeks, about this man of God that went to India. T.L. Osborne. Things like that that we heard. Like those examples are too far to be used in this present time. Can we have the present day examples? That we won't have to be referring to 18 something. It's good though, we have them in archive, but we can refer to the recent ones. Leah's faith began by hearing God's word. You know the interesting thing? She was not the only one who heard God's word. She didn't use a singular word. She didn't say, "I have heard." She said, "We have heard. We have heard." So hearing, it means hearing is not just enough. That you come to church, you jot, is not just enough. At least we have seen in our Bible study like 2-3 weeks ago now, that it is not the hearers that are blessed, it is the doers of the word that are blessed. It is in doing, it is our response to what we have heard. And we'll see. Verse 9. Give me verse 9. Verse 9. She said unto them. Can we read together what she said? Sorry, did she use plural in this place now? Did she use plural in this place now? What did she use? I. And she said unto the men, I know. It was in small letter. Thank God for the writer of this. It was in, so Lord, you, Lord can mean master. But for emphasis sake and for us to clear, to know Ogun and Ogun and Ogun, to be able to separate things without argument, I know that the Lord has given you the land. Excuse me. Had the war started at this point? How did she come to that conclusion? That war never happened. But somebody was already declaring. She said, because of her, what I heard. And what did she hear? Number one, she heard that God, you know, like the way that God opened the sea and he was telling the children of Egypt, come. You will capture them. Just come. And God buried men. Number one. Number two, she heard two kings and their cities utterly destroyed. When they say utterly destroyed. The only things that were not destroyed, the gold and the silver. So she moved from that point of just hearing God's word. She moved from just ahead. And you see, number 3 point, faith is not mental accent. And I need to emphasize, I need to stay on this a little bit. The reason why a lot of us don't, we get disappointed, in God, is that we thought we had faith, but we didn't have faith. What we had was mental accent, intellectual faith. And intellectual faith is not the real faith. Intellectual faith stays in your head. The other guys, when she said, "We have heard," what they had was intellectual faith. Faith that was just in their head. You see? And faith is not just something, faith is not something of the head. Faith is something of the heart. Faith is something of the heart. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Romans 10 and verse 9. Faith is not what we have in our head. Faith is what we have in our heart. Can we read together? And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy head. In thy head. What does scripture say here? In thy heart. You know, if I say, do you believe that? Let me look for some of the examples I have here. When a man has mental or intellectual faith, what he's saying is, I believe God's word. I trust God's word. But it doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for me. I believe God's word. Do you believe that you can be healed? Yes, I believe. But do you trust that you can be healed? Yes. But the person is just using head. And the person begins to look for alternative means of achieving what God has said. And you see, the truth about this thing I'm saying is that a lot of us, we do it. We practice it. We practice it. We practice. Just like the way Saul, the arrangement was that Samuel would be the one to offer the sacrifice. Isn't it? What did Saul do? He went ahead. He was in the haste. He was hasty. We come to that point. I do it. Let's not go too far. And that's why I know you do it also. When we are moving faster than God, you know, there's a way Yorubas will say that God does, along with Kwaju, God doesn't disapprove of, please, somebody help me. God, hey, your human effort. You see, when it comes to, yes, like you are trying to help God, when it comes to your transaction with God, God no require your human effort too. You are greeting the lecturer so that he will remember your face and he will hard mark. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. If God has said that you will get the job, you will get it. Don't circumvent God's process. We do it a lot in the church. And we make God look like he's not true to his word. God is true to his word. We are the ones who are not patient. Or another thing we do is we begin to we ask ourselves, what's your plan B? What's your plan B? If this one doesn't work, like kalo, this one chop, this one no chop, what's your plan B? Meanwhile, God already told you get scholarship, but you are looking like, if this one no work, so I don't look like I am not doing something. But what has God told you? What has God told you? What has God told you? Mental assent looks so much like faith that many people cannot distinguish one from the other. That's number one. Number two, mental assent agrees with God but doesn't believe God. It agrees with God but doesn't believe God. Number three, when we have intellectual faith, we merely accept the word of God as truth, but do not allow it to have impact upon us. We accept the word of God, but we don't allow it to have impact upon us. And you see, like I said, this is a hurdle to prayer. Why many prayers are not answered is because of mental faith. Hallelujah. But scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, where we read earlier, it said, faith is the substance or evidence of things that your sense knowledge cannot comprehend. Your sense knowledge cannot comprehend. Mental assent is sense knowledge. Yes, we say, let it become tangible to you, and you're like, how do I help make it tangible? I can't see this thing. And you're saying, I believe that there's money in my account. And the problem is, pastor will tell us that the problem is our education. We have been schooled from day one, primary school, secondary school. We have been schooled like you believe things that you see. But scripture says we walk not by sight, but by faith. Look at our confession. I know that the Lord has given you this city. They had not fought then. There was no battle yet. It was just two men, no. But she saw the two men, not just in the two men, but because coupled with what she heard before, I know that the Lord has given you this city. We must come to that point. We must come to that point. That you have not even seen, like that scripture we read in 2 Kings chapter 2 Kings about the hand of God in the 2 Kings of Elijah. The hand of God in the cloud. You have not seen, but you believe that there will be rain. Like Elijah, he said, I sense there's an abundance, there's a sound of an abundance of rain. There was even no cloud yet. And maybe you thought it only happened for one day. It took several. He was still praying on the mountain. We must move on from that point of just mental accents to real faith. When it moves, it travels from here to here. And you know, I think I've read somewhere, they said the distance between here and here, you know how many inches? About 14 or 18 inches. It must move from your head where you just believe that God will do it to that your confession, your body language begins to tell that God will do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is someone blessed this morning? Number four, Rahab's faith was demonstrated by her works. You know, I earlier said that faith does not require work. The saving faith does not require work. The faith that admits you into the kingdom of God does not require, it doesn't require work on your part. You do not need to pray five times in a day. Your good work must not, it's not like your good work must outweigh or outnumber the number of bad things you've done. Saving faith does not require work. It doesn't, the only thing is your faith. But you see, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, he said, we are God's workmanship. Give me that Ephesians chapter 2. God's workmanship. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are not saved by the works we do, but we are saved unto what? Good works. What is good works? Your response. Your response. And what was Rahab's response? Now, number one here. Works are the evidence of faith. Please follow me carefully. Good works, they are the evidence. The evidence that you have faith. James chapter 2 tells us. If you go to James chapter 2, you will hear about this. Please give me James chapter 2 and verse 25. Even Rahab was still mentioned in that James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 25. Do you have it on your screen? Do you have it on your screen? Let's read together. One, two, go. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? Rahab's faith was demonstrated by the kind of works she did. She believed, she had heard, number one. She came to that point that she knew in her heart that God was going to destroy the city of Jericho. And so she was shifting ground from Jericho or the land of Canaan to become part of Christ. And she demonstrated by the kind of works. What kind of works? Scripture described here, number one, when she had received the messenger. And she did what? She sent them out another way. She sent them another way. Give me, go to Joshua chapter 2 and verse 21. Or verse 18, we'll now do verse 21. Verse 18 and verse 21. Can we read together? I want to go. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which you let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren, and all thy father's household. Give me 21. And she said, according to your word, so be it. And she sent them away and departed. What did she do? What did she do? She bound the scarlet line in the window. That was the response. That was the work she did. You remember the other time she said, give me a token of a token. You remember? She said, give me a token of this covenant we are having. They said, by the time we are leaving, you know, when we come back, you see this red rope that you are using to let us down through the window. Remember, we said she lives in a penthouse, right? She said, and after they departed, she bound the scarlet line in the window. You know one of the things that God told the children of Israel? Like, he said, you must bound it. They have this thing. That's where at a point, there was this thing, bracelet, or what is it called? Band. Raised band. I think it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, chapter 4 and verse 6. He said, wherever they go, upon their window, they must have it. Upon their door, they must have it. He said, when they go out, they must read it. When they come back, they must also have it. Meaning that for us to have faith, scripture says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. For you to develop faith, you must keep hearing the word of faith. Faith doesn't just, see, there's a part that is an impartation of faith. But you see this kind of faith for your daily Christian living. It is a faith that you must behold the word of God every day. People will talk, oh, you, what are you always listening to? Let them talk. You always have this, your earpiece. You are not even hearing the conversation. Let them see. Is it their faith? Now your faith? Is it your AirPod? It's my AirPod. Let me listen to it. Let me listen to it. That is how faith, the way we generate faith is by hearing God's word. And you see, it's not just listening once. So. You know, the way Pastor says, he said, you thought you heard it. But you have to listen again. You have to listen again. You have to listen again. There's a particular set of messages. Pastor went for a conference, came back, brought the messages, gave it to us. He said, I've listened to the messages more than 100 times. And in that whole pack, Abby? He said he has listened to it more than 100 times. He said, each time I listen to it, I hear something new. Each time I listen to it, I hear something new. And that's the point you must move up. Yes, that's the point we must move to in our journey of faith. Don't say, yesterday somebody preached Hebrews 11. Why is this person coming again to preach Hebrews 11? It's because God is saying, he said, a little here, a little there. Hallelujah. 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 So our faith was demonstrated by our works. He says, where faith is real, it will be seen. Where faith is what? Is real. It will be what? It will be seen. So, by Rhea picked the scarlet, fixed it by the window side, it was her demonstrating her faith. Her faith was being seen. She was properly, making known her faith. Like, each time I see this, you know, salvation is coming. It's guaranteed. So, it says the evidence of Rahab's faith was she ate the spice, and that she sent the spice away, and that she confessed to the spice. Now, the sea of it. He said the greatest evidence of Rahab's faith was the scarlet cord. This cord was a sign that she believed the word of the spice. It was a sign that she believed the words of the spies. He said, while the cord was in the window, Rahab knew she was safe. As long as that cord or that red scarlet thing was by the window, she knew that she was saved. The only safe refuge for a guilty sinner is the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus, the only place of refuge for a guilty sinner. She knew that she was guilty. Because God already made it as an Israelite, like, you know that you can't be the kind of, you can't do that kind of business of prostitution. So she knew she was guilty. And so she demonstrated her faith by, fixing that red scarlet by the window. And not just that, she moved. She was moved. Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, if we live in the light as God does, we share in life with each other. It says, and the blood of his son Jesus washes all our sins away. Washes all our sins away. What she was acknowledging was actually the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, that was what he was acknowledging. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12. He says, I will visit Egypt tonight. He said, when I come, I'm visiting them tonight, I will take away their firstborn. Not just their firstborn. He said, all the animals, the firstborn of all the animals also. He said, but when I come to your doorstep and I see the blood, I will pass over. I will pass over. She knew that the place she had to be at that point was in the blood. Was in the blood. Was in the blood. Exodus 12. And please give me verse 23. Sorry, go back to that verse 13. Verse 13. It says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are. Please, I want to ask this question. Where is the location of a believer? Where is the location of the believer? In the blood. It says, when I see, I know that you live here. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. A man that is hidden in the blood is not permitted to be affected by sicknesses. You know, last week, last 2 weeks? And by the time I knew I was going to be preaching, the pastor reminded me that I should redeem what I said, that I'll come back and teach about it is finished. You know, I said it some 2 weeks ago or thereabout. That it is finished. The location of the believer is in the blood. Is in the blood of Christ. Is in the blood. Bible says, and the blood of his son Jesus washes all our sins away. No wonder she took it. She didn't waste time at all. Bible says, after they departed, she bound the red scarlet to her window. That was the work of her faith. Number 5, Rahab's faith involved a radical change. Number 5, Rahab's faith involved a radical change. Thank you, sir. Rahab's faith involved a radical change. You know the mess that was coming to happen in Jericho? Jericho was going to be destroyed. It was Joshua who sent 2 men to go and spy, right? And it was a strategic move. And let me say this too. Don't just start any business. Don't just go into any business anyhow. Hallelujah. Don't go into anything anyhow. The wisdom I learned from what Joshua did, it was like he was doing a market survey. What would be the reaction of the market? So by the time in 24, what did the guy say? They said, surely the Lord has given us that land. They didn't just say that. He said, the fear of us has come upon every land. But that's not the emphasis. It involved a radical change. She was going to be leaving Jericho. Let me put it this way. Jericho was part of Canaan. God had said he would give that land, the Jebusite, all those side countries. Jericho was part of that land. And so if you do the summation of everywhere, it became Canaan. Eh? Permit me to use that word, that way. And so it involved a radical thing, meant that she was going to be transformed from the land of Canaan to the line of Christ. It involved a transformation from a citizen of Canaan to a citizen of Christ. So here I said, because she believed on the Lord, her whole life was going to be transformed. It meant leaving the doomed city, being separated from our people, the Canaanites. Throw in a lot with the people of God. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, if a man be in Christ, if a man be in Christ, what happens to him? He's a new creature. That was what was going to happen. That was the whole thing happening in our life. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. When a man says, I have faith, I believe Jesus, there will be radical change. And you see, let me add this point. Salvation is not making bad people become good people. It's making dead people become alive. In Canaan, she was a dead person. In Christ, she became alive. She became alive. A real work of grace in the heart will always lead to a real change in the life, evidenced by a change of character. What you should be after, particularly about first, is not a change of character, it's a change of heart. If that man truly encounters Jesus, there will be a change of character. Because what we do is we put the cart before the horse. We are looking for a change of character. Meanwhile, the heart is still the same. Our effort, our emphasis should be on a changed heart. Then a change of character. Not a change of character, then a change of heart. Hallelujah. Rehab's faith, number 6. Rehab's faith reached out to friends and loved ones. Rehab's faith reached out. Don't be selfish. I mean, this story will teach us, one of the things I learned from this story is that don't be selfish. Ordinarily, I believe that maybe if her parents didn't really like the kind of business she was into, they would distance themselves from her, right? I mean, who here amongst us, let's even use this congregation, who amongst us here will be very bold and say, see that prostitute? She be my sister. Let me see your hand. Huh? If they have money. Hallelujah. But she was not selfish. The part of the negotiation she had with the two spies was that when you come back, my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and not that if they had a goat, that goat would be saved. And you know, it prompted a question in my heart. How more do we really pray? Do we really dedicate time to praying for people who are not saved in our families? She was not self. Ordinarily, you would think she was thinking myself and I, like me, myself and I. But she wasn't. She demonstrated her faith by reaching out to her loved ones. She wasn't just to herself alone, like her. Meaning that there was a good news in town. She quickly picked up her phone. Hello, bro Adams, have you heard about this thing? Please quickly apply. Somebody said, why is it that when there are job opportunities, you don't tell me? When you are in need of money, that's when you tell me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number 7, I'm rushing because time is against me. If you check the lineage or the lineage of Christ, she was an harlot, a harlot. But you can't talk about the story of Christ. The story of Christ, Matthew, if you open Matthew, by the time you see, you know, in that Matthew, it was men that they were mentioning. Yeah. Eh? Yeah. But her name featured there. Her name featured simply by aligning herself with the people of God. Don't be too far away from believers. Don't be shy to see, this is my brother. Forget, yes, I know, you don't bear the same surname. But if you are in Christ, that blood, if they check your DNA, they take my DNA, will be the same papa. Now the same papa and mama give birth to us. Let's be on our feet this morning as we bring the service to a close. I believe you have been blessed. You see, the differentiator is the blood. What's the differentiator? It's the blood. What differentiated our house from every other house was the scarlet, the red scarlet. It was a type. It was a type. A type. It was a type. I want you not just to pray for yourself, but bring your family members, bring this nation under the blood. Bring your family members, bring everyone you know, your friends. I want you to, just like the way this woman did, the blood is powerful. The blood is powerful, it's efficient. The blood of Christ is efficacious. If there's any language, like if there's any word like that. He's able to save. If there's any disease that you think you have in your body, bring it on that this morning. If there's anything you know that is in your life and it's not in that true lineage you belong to, bring it this morning before Christ. Bring them in obedience to Christ this morning. I plead the blood of Jesus over my health, over the health of my family. I plead the blood of Jesus. The blood, that red scarlet meant that she started, there was a new thing, a newness in her life. Nothing is too powerful beyond the blood. There's nothing that is more powerful than the blood. Nothing is more powerful than the blood. He said, if I see the blood, I know you live in this place, I will pass over you. The plague that is supposed to ravage the children of Egypt will not be, you will not be part of it. The blood. Plead the blood. If there's something you see in your life, if there's something you have noticed in your lineage that is not consistent with God, what God has called you, plead the blood this morning. I plead the blood. Madeo siprahande lebregegeduske hila baragada. I plead the blood this morning. I plead the blood. A new thing is started this morning. There's a new thing being started this morning. A new thing. When they trace it, when they look at it, they see Christ. When they look at it, they see the blood of Jesus. We see the blood. I plead the blood this morning. Bible says the blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel, for the blood of Abel speaks of vengeance. It speaks of vengeance. And for adventure, you are here this morning, you have not identified with that blood. Can you just raise your hand? You are not on that, you know that you are not a, you can't say you have been, you have accepted the work of that blood in your life. Just wave back at me. Jesus is here this morning to save you. You want to give your life to Christ this morning? Wave back at me. And for adventure, you are online. Please drop your information. We bring everything in obedience to the blood of Christ this morning. We bring everything in obedience to the blood of Jesus this morning.
Bringing everything in obedience to Christ. Bringing everything.